I was thinking about how it is sometimes when we've had an interesting experience in our life, something that is very impactful, whether in a positive or negative way, even something like the birth of a baby or a hospitalization of a loved one or a graduation, whatever it might be, after some kind of emotional experience, afterwards we find ourselves exhausted, discouraged. So after the mountaintop comes the valley. Today we're going to look at a chapter from the prophet Elijah. In fact, we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 19, just to give you a little head start on that. 1 Kings chapter 19. I am reading through the Bible again this year, and when you read about all of Israel's kings, it's pretty depressing, right? And then you come to Elijah and you say, finally somebody who knows and obeys God. It's a breath of fresh air. And he's quite a character, isn't he? The high point of his career as a prophet was the contest on Mount Carmel. It's a classic showdown. It was God's idea. So Elijah confronts wicked King Ahab with a proposal. It's a contest. Bring all 850 of the wicked prophets of Baal and Asherah that eat at the table of Queen Jezebel and meet me on Mount Carmel. Let them, and then I will also do the same, build an altar, offer an ox as an offering, and then we'll both call on our gods. And the God who answers by sending fire from heaven is the true God. Wow. What a contest. And so they meet. The prophets of Baal build their altar, sacrifice their bull, and then call on their gods to send fire from heaven. From morning until evening, they call on their gods, taunted by Elijah. But nothing happens. And then at the time of the evening sacrifice, finally Elijah builds his altar, prepares his bull, and then he has them drench the offering and the altar with water. And they do it again. And they do it again. And then Elijah calls on the God of Abraham to send fire from heaven. And fire falls from heaven, consuming the bull and even the stones of the altar. Can you imagine how hot that was? And the people watching fall to the ground shouting, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" All the false prophets are taken and killed in the Kishon Valley. But the story isn't over. Elijah predicts that in answer to his prayer, God will send rain, ending a 3-year drought. So Elijah prays. And finally, a cloud appears on the horizon. And Elijah tells King Ahab, rain is on the way. And if you want to get out of here, you better hop on your chariot and get going while you can. And then, filled with God's Spirit, Elijah runs beside the king's chariot all the way to Jezreel. Wow. What a contest. What a victory for God and his faithful prophet. Now, if I was the prophet Elijah, I think I would say, "Who wants to go to dinner?" Right? It's like a big sporting event. And like, let's go to dinner and let's celebrate God's power and God's goodness. Who wants to go? Table for 40, please. Is that what Elijah did? Let's look in 1 Kings chapter 19. Now, King Ahab had told his wife Jezebel everything that Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with a sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me ever so severely if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." And Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush and sat down under it and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. So after a time full of emotion, when we're on, when our emotions are intense, when we're busy and going all the time, after it's all over, we often feel exhausted. I remember when one of our sons got married here in Buffalo, and we were so busy running around, and the next day waking up and saying, "What happened?" So tired. And the higher the high, the lower the low. So Elijah shows us a classic post-adrenaline letdown. During his Mount Carmel contest, adrenaline surged through Elijah. Adrenaline is a naturally occurring hormone that sends blood to all of our major muscle groups so we can run or fight. And when Elijah ran beside Ahab's chariot, adrenaline or epinephrine was surging through his body. And then after such a time, our body needs to recover. Exhaustion pushes us to rest, to regain our energy. So the first thing we learn from Elijah is this. This is the first point on your outline. We feel exhausted, we need to rest. We feel exhausted, we need to rest. And isn't it interesting that even when our bodies aren't active, when our emotions are involved, it can leave us exhausted. So I've learned to build in recovery time after a high adrenaline experience. Don't call me on Monday, right? So on Sunday mornings, my adrenaline is elevated. It's a good thing, or you all would be bored to tears. But on Monday, I feel like, bah, right? So it's a time for recovery. Again, the longer the time on the mountain, the longer the recovery we should build into our schedule. If we're wise, we anticipate that. Rest was the order of the day for Elijah. Let's continue our passage. All at once, an angel of the Lord touched him and said, "Get up and eat." And he looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. So after an emotional time, rest. Build recovery into your calendar. When you feel exhausted, rest. Don't say to yourself, "I shouldn't feel this way," because you do. Give yourself permission to rest, and some of you need to hear this. Resting is not a waste of time. How many of you needed to hear that? We know who you are. Rest is not a waste of time. Another common feeling in this downtime, the valley after the mountaintop, is a sense of isolation. Elijah feels this keenly, as we see in verses 9 and 10. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." Can you hear the discouragement in his voice? "I am the lone voice for God. Things are not going well, and I'm really discouraged." And there are times for all of us when we feel alone, discouraged, and depressed. And again, this emotional malaise is part of the post-adrenaline letdown. So the second thing we learn from Elijah is this. We feel alone, we need to connect. We feel alone, we need to connect. Who do we connect with? Well, first we connect with God, even if we don't feel like it, right? Again, isolation is a natural part of exhaustion and depression, and it makes things worse. Left to ourselves, we imagine all kinds of negative things. A little bit of isolation is okay, but then we need to connect. In verse 11, we see this. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Let's talk, Elijah. You've been in your own head too much. Let's talk this over. I think that if we trust the loving heart of God, we can just sit with Him. Or we can whine to Him. We can complain to Him. We don't have to pretend. But we do need to connect with God, who is life. And we need to connect with others. Here's one of the things that God says to Elijah as they talk, verse 18. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. Elijah, you feel like you're the only one who is serving me, but it's not true. There are 7,000 others who have continued to serve me faithfully. You are not alone. Sometimes in our discouragement, we think that nobody understands or cares about us. Fight it. There are people who care about you. Pick up the phone. Or just come to a worship service and sit with other people. So what have we seen so far? We feel exhausted. We need to rest. We feel alone. We need to connect. Here's our next lesson from Elijah. We find it hard to hear God speak. We need to listen. We find it hard to hear God speak. We need to listen. As Elijah stands before the Lord, something unexpected happens. God does not speak in a way that Elijah expects. Let's see what happens. Second part of verse 11. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. We have expectations of God, don't we? We do. I'm not saying we should, but we do. We expect God to reward our good behavior. We expect Him to answer our prayers in a certain way. We expect Him to take care of our adversaries sooner rather than later. But God stands above our expectations, and aren't you glad? Aren't you glad God is not limited by our expectations? We might expect God to speak through the wind or the earthquake or the fire, but instead, God whispers. He whispers. Do we ever miss what God is saying to us because He speaks in a way we don't expect? Martin Lloyd-Jones was a pastor in England during the long, trying days of World War II. And after the war was finally over, he was really discouraged, and can you blame him? He felt like quitting. He took a leave from his church. He spent time by the sea, and he just didn't feel anything. He was numb. One morning, he was in his bedroom, and he glanced down on his dresser. It was a commentary by A.W. Pink. And his eyes fell on the word glory, as in the glory of God. And he started to weep. He had a deep sense of God's healing presence. And he sat on his bed and he cried for an hour. How did God speak? Through a random word in a commentary. He wasn't even reading it. He just glimpsed it. No one scripted this. No one could have guessed what would trigger this release of sadness. Sometimes God speaks in ways that we do not expect. We find it hard to hear God speak. We need to listen. Maybe we will hear God speak in a gentle evening breeze. Maybe we'll hear God speak when we see the afternoon sun coming through a stained glass window. Maybe a friend will call to say hello. Maybe we'll find an old letter and hear the voice of God. Maybe a random word out of the Bible portion we're reading will speak to us. Maybe we'll be listening to a story or reading and we'll be aware of how fitting this is to our situation. God is not limited in how he speaks. So as you listen to God, know that he may not speak in a way that you expect, but he will speak. The poet William Cowper wrote this: God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Keep your eyes and ears open. God may already be whispering to you. Are we listening? One final lesson from poor old discouraged Elijah is this: we feel useless. Get up. God has something for you to do. In verse 15, God says this to Elijah. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. So after this, Elijah goes and finds Elisha to carry on his prophetic ministry. Elijah felt used up. Put me on the clearance rack. I'm done. I'm too old. I'm too tired. I'm done. None of you have ever said that. Maybe you have. And God says through his Holy Spirit, nope, you're not done. I have work for you to do. Again, we in our exhaustion sometimes feel the same way, used up, like we have nothing to give. Now, let me be clear. There is a season for recovery. There is a season to sit back. But then God says to us, I made you for a purpose. You have gifts to use. You have hard-earned wisdom to share. And as we mentioned last week, Jesus doesn't need us. He wants us. God wants to use us because he loves us. He knows that our lives need purpose. So maybe this morning, God, through his Spirit, says to you, get up. I got things for you to do. And here's my advice, and I've thought a long time about this. If God says that to you, you should get up. God has things for you to do. Something about obedience, right? It opens the door for God to bless us. If we don't obey God, the door stays shut. But if we obey God, it opens a door. The only thing that God can bless is our obedience. So let's look at these four lessons from Elijah, and I'm wondering which is for you today. Maybe if you have your outline, just have it in front of you. Which one of these is for you today? We feel exhausted, we need to rest. We feel alone, we need to connect. We find it hard to hear God speak. We need to listen. And we feel useless. And God says, get up. God has something for you to do. So I'm going to give you just a moment to think about which of those most applies to you and how will you respond in life-giving ways. And then after a moment, I'll pray for us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your presence here in our lives. And just as you revealed yourself to Elijah, so you reveal yourself to us. And we are grateful. I don't know which of these four lessons from Elijah's life will speak to any of us, but I pray that you would use them, that if we need to rest, that we would rest, that if we need to connect to others, that we would connect, if we need to listen, that we would listen and maybe be open to the idea that you're going to speak in a way we were not expecting. And maybe there's somebody here today who's been through a season of rest and maybe felt like they were not useful to you. And I pray that you would encourage them and call them back into usefulness because you have something for them to do. I pray that all of us would listen to your voice, apply it to our own circumstance, and then respond in joyful obedience. We pray all of these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.